All content discussed on Hypochondriac are the individual opinions of Dr. Priyanka Wally and Sean Hayes and should not be construed as personalized medical advice. By listening to this podcast, you agree not to use this podcast as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or others. Consult your own physician for any medical issues that you may be having. This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the podcast.
I'm Dr. Priyanka Wally, medical doctor and stand-up comedian.
And I'm Sean Hayes, actor and hypochondriac. It's safe to say that I'm not America's first hypochondriac, but I am America's first hypochondriactor. Hi!
Good morning, Priyanka! How are you? Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to see you.
You too. There was this woman who worked at Fox years and years ago, Fox Studios. She used to give, it's a long story, but she used to go, this is exactly how she said good morning. Good morning. Every single time.
Wait, and was she trying or was that just her voice?
No, that's her normal voice.
Oh, good, that was just
it. Good morning. And it was like, ugh, it got run through you.
Would you prefer that or like a deep, like, good morning?
Well, of course that. I mean, who wouldn't like to hear that? I'd like to hear that, like,
so
real close.
I have a question for you, Sean.
Yeah.
I've always wondered this about you. Do you journal?
Oh my God, I thought you were going to say something else.
What? Wait, what did you think I was gonna say?
Do you jerk it?
Do you jerk? Well, I'm sure there's many listeners that would love to know the answer to that question, but we can save that for another
episode.
Every
human being does.
Yeah, totally.
do I journal? No, I don't. Should I? I know I should.
Oh no, I was just curious if you do and if you find it beneficial. I do from time to time. I find it to be really helpful sometimes when I'm like in my head a lot and like feeling really angsty about a situation. And then,
yeah, but it seems so effortful.
I find it to be so therapeutic that to just get it out so that even though you're not talking to anyone, it's just it's the universe. It's like, you're basically putting it out.
Well, that's interesting you say that. Yes, I do journal all the
really?
Time then. Because I hear that phrase and I picture somebody sitting by candlelight with a plume and a thing and like writing, you
dear,
know. And so, but no,
diaries.
Yes, to whom? Yeah,
today has been quite eventful.
Yeah, exactly. Period. No, but I do all the time. I write down thoughts the time, but on my computer.
Oh,
I don't actually physically write it.
That is still a form of journaling for sure. If you're free writing, it's called free writing actually, where you just, you're just like word vomiting and you're not like editing or second guessing it and you're just letting it flow.
Or I'll record myself, like I'm in my car and I have thoughts, I'll record
myself.
So
I'm curious, do you ever go back and listen to those thoughts or read those or like?
Yes, I just did yesterday. I listened to something I recorded like six, seven years ago. That was on my phone. I was like, oh my God, that's so crazy.
Yes.
But yeah, it's fascinating. But I do go back. What I do is I keep in my draft folder in my emails.
Yes.
I'll like, because it's just like a blank piece of paper.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess.
Yeah.
And so I'll write it in an email, even though it's not going to anybody.
Right, totally.
And I'll just save it as a draft. And so I have like 100.
I love that. Okay. So you totally journal.
Yeah.
You totally journal.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a little more old school. Like I have those books and I carry little journals because I like, I don't know. I guess I'm kind of antiquated in that way. I like the written aspect of it because it's more like embodied. But I sometimes have done what you've done where I do it on my computer. And it's funny, this last week, I have a very old computer that I'm going to get rid of, and it's too old to back up easily. I have to manually back up every file. So I'm,
oh my God.
Know, it's a huge project. And I'm going through all of these old files, and I'm finding the most amazing things about myself that I totally forgot. Like, I didn't even
it's kinda
know
cool, isn't it?
That I did those things or I said those
Do you ever
things.
Write down goals? Do
oh,
you, like, write
I have
down goals.
Goals I have free writing. I have, you know, I'm just realizing the person I was like 15 years ago was super vivacious and like ready to live and fight the good fight and like signing petitions and like, we're going to change the world. Like,
but what's happened? Because I still feel like you're that person.
I don't know. I think I've really mellowed down. And honestly, I think going through the medical training system like definitely broke my spirit in many ways because it was so rough so hard. And I'm looking at my young med school self, some of the diary entries from my younger self. And I'm like, damn, I was so vivacious and full of life. And I want to get back in touch with that.
But you enjoy being a physician.
Oh, totally, totally. But, you know, the training system is literally inspired off of a military style system. Like, you know, you show up at this time, report at this time, you have to work for these number of hours. Like, if you're sick, suck it up. You know, it was just like really, really challenging. And there's actually a lot of similarities between the acting world and like the grinding you've had to do with some of the grinding that I've done, like in medical training. So much so that when I started to do stand-up comedy, I was like, oh, this is like way easier than residency, like in terms of the grinding and being out there and like busting your butt.
Right. Yeah. I mean, but we do it like you're a doctor and I'm an actor, because even though there are really, really, really rough spots to both, and there's rough spots to any job, right? It's like, oh, I got to do this or go through all this bullshit. But we do it because we love it.
Yes.
And on the other side of getting through that hard work is such a great reward in many, many ways, like for your soul.
Yes.
Everything that you see.
It's very satisfying. Right, you know who also is super satisfying? Our guest today.
Well, look, can I guess?
Yeah, okay, go.
Can
go
I guess
ahead.
Who it is? Is it Kim
it
Fields?
It is, yeah. Yes.
Oh, my gosh. Can you believe she's
on? I am so excited to meet her. Are you friends with her? Do you know her?
No, I don't. I've never met her. You take the good, you take the bad, and there you have the facts of life. I mean, who didn't grow up on that show? I'm so
very,
excited.
Very, very exciting.
Obviously, she's done a lot since
then. Yes. So, can't wait to meet her. But we have a caller, a live caller today, who I'm really excited to talk to.
Yes, yes, yes. His name is David, and he had a scare when he learned there was a tumor on his spine causing numbness in his left arm. We got to find all about it. David is here to tell us more about his story. Hello, David!
Yay!
Hi! Sean, can I just say, I've never had this opportunity. I have to tell you one quick thing. First of all, your show is awesome. I love it. But anyway, I'll get to that. Sean, my best friend from college and I had a baby. I'm the Jewish lawyer from New York. She's the Upper East Side Jewish girl. We are the real life Will and Grace. We have for the last 12 years walked around. We've been on TV. We've been on CNN. We've been on Today Show. We talk about that all the time. I never thought I'd have the opportunity to say this, but we are the real life Will and Grace. And thank you for everything you did. You facilitated and opened the door for me as a gay guy. So thank you.
Oh my gosh. Amen. That means everything. Thank you, David. That's very sweet of you to say.
My pleasure.
I'm glad it's going well and you have a child.
He's turning 12 next week.
That's so cool.
Congrats.
I know. It's crazy.
So, that's awesome.
We love it.
Thank you.
I love little modern families like that. All right. So now listen, David, thank you for being here. I have, of course, Sean Hayes. And by process of elimination, that's Dr. Priyanka Wally. And so now we're all about tumors here. You had some kind of tumor. Clearly you're doing well, but walk us through what happened.
Before I was a lawyer, I was an actor, some TV work. And I was a personal trainer, and I was Conan O'Brien's personal trainer for about 8 years.
Oh, wow.
That's so cool. He's a good friend.
Oh, my goodness.
He's a good friend still of mine. Anyway, I'm a big worker outer. Nothing's happened. I'm a super healthy guy. I don't do anything. Mm-hmm. And I was working out, and I had numbness in my left arm. Mm-hmm. And my dad's a cardiac patient, so I figured this may be a cardiac event. I got very nervous.
Yeah, it sounds like
mm-hmm.
it.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah. So I was super nervous, went to the hospital, said nothing, and finally went to my doctor, and he said, have an x-ray. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, I'll have an x-ray. They said they saw an impingement. Again, no issue. Went to physical therapy. And it didn't get worse and it didn't get better. The numbness was constant in my left arm.
Wait, what's an impingement?
Doctor. Impingement is basically when the nerve is getting pinched by another structure. It's getting impinged upon
by something
else.
Why wouldn't they call it impingement? I mean, it's right there.
I mean, yeah, that's fair. That's fair. I will write to the medical board
to make
that adjustment. Thank you for that.
Thank you, David. Please continue.
So it didn't get any better. And I'm left-handed. And that's what's even worse because it was affecting writing.
Oh, yeah,
chopsticks.
Sure.
It was slightly annoying. Mm-hmm. So he said, you should go have an MRI. So I said, MRI, get out of here. What do I need an MRI for?
Yeah.
And I put it off. So after 2 months, I never had an MRI. I've never been sick.
Yeah.
So I had an MRI. They rolled me into the MRI. Halfway through the MRI, they pulled me out, gave me a contrast dye MRI.
Yeah.
Which didn't make me nervous because I thought that's what they do.
Mm-hmm. Did it make you want to puke?
It didn't make me want to puke, but a warm feeling came over me.
You felt the contrast inside.
Well, that's when I walked in the room. But other than that.
Right. So, and you know how you can see in an MRI? I could see by lying down. I could see there was a mirror above my eyes. I could see them all the way. And they were all doing this.
Yeah.
They were all converging at the screen. I thought, oh, no.
I know.
I thought that was normal. So they pulled me out and they said, the radiologist on duty wants to speak to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, okay, that's normal, right? That's all. He sat me down and he said, all right, sit down. You have a tumor growing on your spinal cord.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know how you're going to react to that.
Yeah.
And I didn't break down and cry.
Wow.
Just became resolute and focused. What do I do? And at this point, I didn't know that it wasn't cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, it's called an intermedullary ependymoma. It's a nerve cell tumor. And it was a sizable tumor that was starting to press against my brain stem.
Yes.
And that's what was causing the numbness.
Yep.
Oh, wow.
And so 2 months later, I saw a lot of different, thank God my son's mom is a breast oncology nurse. So I had a number of different opinions, 3 or 4 opinions.
Sure.
I went to the guy who wrote the tumor grading scale on this.
So slacker, real slacker.
Real slacker. I don't know. I was putting my life in his hands. And and they named the tumor grading scale, the McCormick grading scale after. So I thought, I'm so lucky to be in New York City, right?
Yeah.
Right. So
I went to him 2 months later. They took it out. Two things. They weren't able to take out the tumor completely because it was intertwined in my spinal cord.
Oh, wow.
If they were to remove it all, I would have been paralyzed from the waist down.
No way.
Oh, my goodness.
That's not a good look.
Right.
Had I known that, going in, I would have been petrified. I did not think about those things. You know?
Totally.
Right, right.
And so that's it. So these type of tumors, they find incidental to, I guess, car crashes. I mean, Priyanka, you might know more about this. When they do head and neck x-rays,
they just sort of find them, right? Most people may not have symptoms.
Wow.
Once it's symptomatic, they say that they have to take it out.
Yeah. So one question I have for you, because the thing about ependymomas is that they are not sensitive to chemotherapy or radiation. So the burden of cure falls upon the technical skill of the surgeon. And that's a hardcore thing to wrap around. You know, it's your surgeon that's going to be the difference between this working out or not. So how did you decide who was going to operate on you?
They should do it like The Bachelor. You should just walk up with a rose.
Or a scalpel. You want the final scalpel. Yeah.
How many have you? Quite frankly, I said to the head of spinal, if I was your son or your grandson, who would you? He said, I'm happy to do this for you. But if you were my son or my grandson, I would send you to. People come from all over the world to do this surgery. Yeah. And that's it. And so he did it. And that's how I chose to do it. It wasn't an easy decision.
I
saw about 4 neurologists. Some of them said it appeared to be what's called an astrocytoma.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason that they needed to know if it was an astrocytoma, they wanted to go in pre-surgery through my leg to find out if it worked. Because if they opened up my spinal cord during surgery and it burst, I could be
God.
Yeah,
oh my God.
It would be bad news.
Talk
yeah.
about my penis hurting, Sean. You talk about that?
I just did.
Like so
I just
warm.
Did. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I just imagined that thing bursting open and confetti coming out.
And dancers.
Yeah.
So I ended up going there. But then the final thing is, this never got better.
Okay, so your arm's still numb even
it
like
today. It
will
never get better. I'm still numb. I can't use a key. I can't use a pen. My son makes fun of me. Little things. I have no feeling in my palm or my fingertips.
Okay.
Use our fingertips
but
a lot.
But it's still there. There's still a little bit left over in your spine or no?
Yes. So they can't remove it. It's there.
But it's benign.
It's benign, thank God. I didn't know that at the time. Of course, I want to hear no cancer, right?
Right.
Dr. Wally, you might know, apparently they're benign with adults, but cancerous in children. That's my understanding.
Oh my God.
Yeah, from what I understand, they can be a little more aggressive. So intramedullary tumors are the most common in adults. Usually the peak age of presentation is between 30 to 40 years.
Okay, so mine's at 50, so.
Okay, so you were a little bit older than what we would typically see. One question I have for you, because you said you were never sick a day in your life. I'm curious, did that make you take your symptoms more seriously because you were basically more sensitive to discomfort or anything that was different in your body?
That's a great question because I was a personal trainer, like I said, for 10 years.
Right.
I'm very aware of my body.
Yeah.
That being said, that coupled with being like a Woody Allen hypochondriac.
That's me.
Yeah. It's like, I'm going to get. And unfortunately, my mom had just died of ovarian cancer 8 years
ago. Oh, wow.
And my brother developed testicular cancer 5 years
ago. Oh, my God.
So it was a terrible time.
Yeah.
A small child at home. So I knew I had to continue living and walking. But to answer your question, I'm just hyper aware of my body anyway.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
yes.
This was something that was so strange for me, this numbness in my arm.
Yes. Yeah.
And then the only final other thing I'll say is, told me before he did the surgery, he does about 500 of them a year.
Yes.
And he said, 80% of people after surgery will have sensory deprivation below your waist. I didn't really know what that meant. I ran 2 marathons.
That better not mean what I think it means.
That's exactly what it means.
And oh, wow.
I didn't really process. That's really amazing when you get this information. I didn't really process what he was talking about. Is he talking about I'm going to be in a wheelchair? Is he talking about I'm going to need crutches to walk? I couldn't even fathom what he meant by
that. Yes, yes.
He did say, if you walk into my office, you'll walk out.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. That's mm-hmm. all
that
we need.
Penis, but I need to use my penis. And so yeah. I, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? So
yes, of course.
So I said to him, this is okay. So of course, when I woke up, you'll think this is funny. What I tell the story all the time. When I woke up from the surgery, I must have had a dozen neurologists and residents around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I realized I was alive, thank God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
they took like a pin or some type of pen and were poking my feet to see
yeah, to make sure there was sensation. Right.
And I didn't feel it, but I lied to them. I thought in my dilaudid haze, I'm going to fool these guys, these geniuses. I'm going to fool them all and tell them I can feel. So I lied for a day. I don't know why I did that.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Well, it's because you were hopped up on drugs.
I was hopped up on drugs and I lied to all the neurologists. So after that, so cut to this is now two and a half years later. I have sensory deprivation below my waist. I had to relearn how to walk.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
That's intense.
And the good news is I don't have to wear a diaper.
Yes.
Thank God.
And I still can have sex.
Oh, well, then you got good. Everything you need, right? Well, one thing that is so critical about your story, David, is that it is so important to honor the sensations that are present for us in our body. If you had ignored that numbness, this could have gone on much longer and the outcome could have been very different. But the fact that you were so in tune with your body was part of the reason that you had such a good outcome in this scenario.
I think you're exactly right. Had this been someone else who would just sort of push it aside and say, it's just because I don't work my biceps or my shoulders today.
Right.
My body's always somewhat of pain, right? From working out, the lack of pain. Something's always hurt. I worked out this morning. Something's mm-hmm. always achy. Just recovering from working out. I love to work out.
Well, you look great. I'm so glad the tumor is not as bad as it is.
Yeah. And you learn to walk again and your penis works. Like,
and
you know,
penis,
I'm
by the way,
really glad.
Priorities.
Well, you two, 80% of the time, you guys talk about pooping and penis.
That's exactly
yep,
right.
That's what
because
we
you
do
know why?
Here on Hypo.
You have to talk about it.
We have to go there.
That's right.
But David,
right.
thank you for
thank
being
you
here. That's so
much.
Nice of you to share.
Such a
I love it. And I'm so glad about, that your life is going well.
Thank you.
Thanks,
thank
David.
You so much.
I hope to run into you someday.
I know. When you come to New York and do your show, absolutely.
Yes, for sure.
Thanks, guys.
Bye, pal.
Wow, what a story, huh?
Well, I mean, my God.
Very rare condition.
So it's rare to have a tumor on, first of all, it's rare to have your tumor on your spinal cord, right?
On your spine, yeah. And specifically the ependymoma is a tumor of the ependymal cells, which are these thin tissue-like cells that line your brain and line your spinal cord. So it's like a very specific kind of tumor. And intramedullary basically means within the part of the brain. It was near his brainstem. The medulla is this part of your brain.
Yeah.
So intramedullary is like within the brain. Yeah.
My uncle, I'm always shocked at these stories. My uncle, Uncle Jack, died, decades ago.
This your dad's side or your mom's side?
My mom's sister's husband.
Okay.
And he was such an amazing person. I loved him. I was very young when he died. And and I remember everybody being shocked because he always worked out and he always exercised and he, I'm always amazed when people like David or my uncle or something, you hear about the stories, like I ran a marathon every single year. I do this.
I know.
So it's weird how bodies, it's so unpredictable.
Right?
You can't. It just seems like so random.
I mean, what's clear to me is that we know so much in medicine, but there's still so much we don't know. We do not have the answers to so many different things, why certain things happen.
Yeah.
You know, and it'll be really interesting over the next couple of decades to see like what we learn that shifts our paradigm in terms of why people get sick.
I'm going to be listening for that on Hypochondriactor.
We love listening to your stories, people. So the number to leave us a message is 1-323-529-6031. That's 323-529-6031. Please keep sharing your stories with us.
We love hearing from you. Now let's get to our guest.
We are supported by Fight Camp. Fight Camp brings the best workout in the world into your home and makes it fun. Explore thousands of workouts led by expert trainers that meet you on your time. I really enjoy using Fight Camp because it's just a fun way to mix up workouts and do it in an entertaining setting. Live punch stats motivate you to push harder and help you map out your progress, knock out achievements, or go head-to-head against other rivals from across the country or across the living room. Learn the basics and sharpen your skills over time through tailored paths. Boxing requires focus. Precise combinations push you to think about every punch you throw. It's the ultimate way to clear your mind and forget you're working out. Fight Camp comes with all the gear you need to start boxing from home, including a freestanding punching bag, boxing gloves, quick hand wraps, and smart punch trackers. And it takes up less space than you think. If you have enough room to do a push-up, you have enough room for Fight Camp. You can even get the whole family involved. Fight Camp is one of the only home workouts that's safe for kids to do because there are no heavy weights or spinning wheels. It's an amazing way for them to get their energy out, learn something new, and share an experience with the whole family. Join the biggest boxing community in the world without leaving your home with Fight Camp. You can get started with Fight Camp for as low as $9 a month by going to fightcamp.com/actor. Go to fightcamp.com/actor to learn more.
We are supported by Next Evo. So are you guys hesitant to try CBD? I know I was. You know, I didn't know what it was. I was scared to take it. I didn't know how to take it, how much to take it, like all that kind of stuff. But Next Evo Naturals developed smart sorb technology, clinically proven to help your body absorb CBD 4 times better than regular CBD oil, because oil just doesn't mix with your water-based body. It's faster too, by the way. When you feel stress coming on, you won't waste time wondering, is it working? So when I tried Next Evo Naturals, it really did work for me. I was curious, is this really going to work? I waited for like a really stressful day. I had this particular stressful day like a few weeks ago, and I tried Next Evo Naturals and it really worked. It relaxed me. It took all the weight of the day off of my brain, and fast. Most CBD oil, like found in tinctures, gummies, and capsules, achieve between 2% and 10% absorption, which means more than 90% of what you think you're getting is actually wasted. Next Evo is the only brand that combines a patented natural whole plant ashwagandha that's 8 times more powerful than regular ashwagandha, and their 100% U.S. hemp-derived smart sorb CBD with 4 times better absorption than standard CBD. Next Evo Naturals are scientifically formulated to deliver more CBD in a way your body can actually use it, and fast. Proven 29 times better absorption in the first 30 minutes. Get to the root of stress with the Stress CBD Complex from Next Evo Naturals. For up to 25% off subscription orders of $40 or more, use promo code HYPO at nextevo.com. That's NEXTEVO.com, promo code HYPO.
Oh, yay!
Oh, it's just a fact of life that our guest today is amazing. She's an actor, singer, and director. You might know her from Living Single or the Netflix original series, The Upshaws, which I cannot wait to see. I know you're like in season 2 or 3. It's the fabulous Kim Field.
Kim.
Hi.
Welcome.
I can't believe I'm meeting you.
We are so excited
Thank you so much. I am so excited to be here. I'm such a huge fan.
Wait, Kim, I don't think we've ever met.
We haven't.
Oh.
I mean,
how is that possible? How is that possible?
I don't know, but like, I know you hear this all the time. First of all, it's super exciting for me to meet you.
Yes.
And this is Priyanka Wally. So
I'm
there you go.
So excited.
I'm sure you hear this all the time, but I grew up with you. You will ever.
Thank you.
Is what I think is bizarre about the power of television.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to go deep into this at all, but I just want to say this. You, Kim Fields, will forever occupy mm-hmm. space in my brain mm-hmm. until the day I die.
Iconic.
I mean, isn't that
well,
wild?
Thank mm-hmm. you.
I think that's crazy.
Thank you so much. Thank you. It's very surreal. It is very surreal when I have that level of engagement and somebody shares that with me.
Yeah.
But I understand the place that it comes from, and I'm very grateful for the types of shows and characters that I've been a part of.
Yes.
To have that type of presence.
Yes.
In
yeah.
someone's, you know, personal lexicon.
It's
a big deal. And it's a big, I mean, yeah. it's so special for me.
Yeah.
So I love it. And I love you.
It is a very big deal. Thank
so
you.
So now you did live in front of the studio audience, which I also did. I did All in the Family. You did.
Yes.
You appeared on the Facts of Life remake.
Different
thing,
Strokes. And yes.
And
yes.
Different Strokes.
Mm-hmm.
And what, I mean, what was that? I'm sorry for asking such a boring, obvious question.
No.
But you're here and I'm never going to get you again. So
well, I hope that's not true.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
May this be the beginning
yes,
of so many
seriously.
Conversations.
I know.
Yeah,
I hope
absolutely.
So. I hope so. But wait, what was that like to be like, just to walk on that
yeah.
set? I mean, it must have been bizarre.
It was so, again, mm-hmm. surreal is a word that I keep using with some of my own memories. Mm-hmm. And that was one of them because everything was replicated exactly. I mean,
yeah.
even like the backstage setting of the
wow.
sets looked like our world. And so I was like catapulted into being age 9 and 10 and 11.
Yeah.
And it was very, very surreal. And walking through the sets and to know that it has made such an impact on so many people for mm-hmm. decades now.
Yeah.
But here's the other thing that was just wonderful and a new memory was interacting in that space and having Jason Bateman there.
Isn't he the best?
Yeah, and I just adore Jason.
I love him too.
Yeah, and
well,
so
you guys
that was
grew up kind of like
exactly,
in the same world.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But he was never there in that environment. You know,
right.
We you know certainly knew each other and around the studio. And have fun memories of doing game show and things like that. But that was just as much fun. Oh,
that's so cool.
Love
well,
it.
They need to do it for Living Single.
I know. Can you believe it's been long enough to have that happen now?
I know. How long has it been? When did that show go off?
29 years ago, this past
what?
Summer. Yeah, earlier this, yeah, 29
I'm saying
years.
This to your face right now. You look exactly
seriously
the same.
Yeah,
you do. You look
Thank
exactly
you.
The same.
Yes.
Well, you know what they say, so I'm not cracking, and I appreciate it.
girl, I cracked a long time ago because
no, I'm sorry, but you are the same. Yes, you are
my
definitely
pale Irish skin. Okay, so but now you're on the Upshaws, which I'm friends with Wanda
yes.
Sykes, who I love.
And
she speaks so highly of you and of the show. And tell me about that. Wait, how, what, are you in season two?
We're in season two, and they've dropped half of the episodes. They've dropped the first 8 of season 2, and it's been just incredible. And I love working with Wanda, with Mike, our entire cast, our writer's room is fire. And it's really great because, you know, I didn't really want to do, I wasn't checking to do another comedy, quite honestly. I've been blessed to do, you know, 14 years of comedy and specifically
and
sitcom.
Directing too.
And directing, yeah. And so I was in a different space, but they said Wanda Sykes. Well, they said Mike Epps, Wanda Sykes, and Netflix, and I was like, oh, boy.
Yeah. And Kim Fields. I mean, that's yeah. That's
no,
great...
that was before Kim Fields. That was what they said to me, and that trifecta said, "Oh, let me just read the script," and then it was off to the races.
Oh,
from
nice!
There.
Wow,
that's so great.
So
oh my gosh, they're also
Thank
lucky to have you.
You.
So now, listen, let's get to the good
well, yeah,
stuff,
let's
which
talk
is
the
all
medical,
medical
stuff.
Stuff.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
So tell me, so I don't know, Priyanka, you go because it's premenopausal
right, so
something.
So you were going to share a story and experience where you, yeah,
yes.
Go ahead and get started about this very interesting story.
Yeah. So I also write and produce as well as direct and act.
Yeah.
And so I was writing a script. And so I was developing one of my characters for this project. And I said, you know, I think it'll be an interesting layer. Sean, you know how much we love layered characters and playing, you know, characters with complexities.
Yeah.
And I thought, what if this character is premenopausal?
Okay.
And so I'm one of those where I do a deep dive into research when I'm writing anything. And so I did a truckload of research. And then I was realizing that I wasn't feeling well. I was a little nauseous. I was this, and then I had like full on nausea and just
while
all these
you're
things.
Researching this,
while
you're researching.
I'm researching
right, right.
this. And then I realized, oh my goodness, I'm having these symptoms. Oh my God, no, I'm not premenopausal. Come on, Jesus. Not
oh,
now.
Wow.
This no. And I felt like I just became the hot girl. Now I'm like that kind of hot girl.
Uh-huh.
No. Right?
Yes.
Oh my God.
And I mean, I was, you know, shaking the angry fist at the universe, like, come on, y'all, are you kidding
right,
me?
Right, right.
Yeah.
And only to find out, I went to the doctor because it was about 2 months of this.
2 months, okay.
And I went to the doctor and I'm just like, okay, give, you know, look, give, I self-diagnosed. And I think that's my big takeaway is that we always self-diagnose as soon as
anything. Yeah.
I'm sure y'all get a lot of that.
Totally.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And so my doctor, who I'd been with forever, and she's like, well, let's run all these tests, blah, blah, blah. And she says, you know, just for kicks and giggles, let's just run, you know, let's do a pregnancy test. And I was like, all right. And sure enough, I was 2 months pregnant.
Wow. Okay.
That
so
is crazy. And you didn't know.
And I didn't know. I did
what about
not know.
What about the throwing up and the morning sickness and the...
Yeah, so again, because some of the symptoms are the same as being premenopausal.
I mean, sure. Right, yeah, like...
Exactly, so there was that. And of course, not having your cycle, that's like the big,
right.
Oh my God, no!
Yeah. Right.
And I'd already had Sebastian when I was 38, so at this point, I was 43, about to turn 44.
Okay. So,
and that's why it was a really huge deal.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And to top it off, guys, earlier that year, literally New Year's Day, we'd had a miscarriage.
Oh, okay.
And
wow.
So
sorry.
It was like, you know, not to, and listen, I didn't want to turn it, you know, negative because the flip side is the end of that very same year, Quincy was born.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
So, yeah. So all of that was that kind of perfect, you know, mental storm of this was wrong with you,
oh my
Kinfield,
goodness.
says Dr. Kinfield.
Yeah, yeah, no, yeah. But this is yeah, so exactly. common.
Exactly.
Trust me.
I'm the same
this
way.
This is so common because, first of all, really? The average age of menopause is on average, of course, individual results may vary, but the average age is around 51 years of age. But you do see cases mm-hmm. of people in the 40 to 45 range who have signs of early mm-hmm. menopause and begin the transition up until they finally cross.
That's just rude.
Here's yeah. the thing. Here's the thing. You know, when I was in medical school, I would, and this was very common amongst the med students, we would definitely somaticize the symptoms for whatever subject we were studying at the time. Like, I remember mm-hmm. we studied dermatology for a week. All of us were itching. We would literally, and every single mole uh-huh. that we had, we'd be like, I don't know, is that dangerous?
Right,
so it
right,
makes total
right.
sense.
Cancer.
Yeah.
Cancer.
Like,
I've got
yeah,
cancer.
Exactly.
I've got this.
Exactly.
I've got,
yeah. So it makes exactly. total sense that you were deeply getting into an understanding of what menopause and premenopausal symptoms were. You know, mm-hmm. if you're a sensitive person or empathic, like it would make sense that you might somaticize some of the symptoms and think, oh, okay, it's premenopause. But then it actually ended up being pregnancy, which is hilarious.
But that's one of the craziest, unbelievable stories I've ever heard, where you're researching a character who's premenopausal. Mm-hmm. Then you're like, okay, psychosomatic, whatever. I'm thinking that I have it. Right.
Right.
And then, okay, so I need to go get checked out. And then, mm-hmm. oh, I'm pregnant.
Right.
I mean, it's so
and that's
bizarre.
Like a whole other
Isn't
algorithm
that,
then, that you have to think about, very... right? Like,
yeah,
exactly.
What was your reaction? Like, what was your reaction? Obviously, you were probably elated that you were pregnant, but
I was elated. I was stunned.
Yes.
And because I was already 2 months pregnant, right. there was also that tremendous relief because
yeah.
the miscarriage was in the early stage. That early trimester.
Right.
And so I'd like turn that corner, mm-hmm. so to speak.
Now let me ask like a lady question from a guy.
Okay.
When no. you when and it's no, but
I'm
it
not
is.
A lady. I'm
oh,
a girl.
There we go. Hello.
My favorite. But wait a minute. So, but it's a serious question about miscarriages. So when mm-hmm. a woman has a miscarriage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is it most likely that they aren't able to carry a child unless there's like a procedure or something? Or like if you have one, the odds are that you'll have another. Is that
so
true?
So actually, it really depends on what the underlying cause is of the original miscarriage. Okay. So like, for example, sometimes certain nutritional deficiencies can lead to miscarriages. Sometimes it's okay. an environmental factor. Those are all things that are potentially reversible. But if it's something related to like a chronic medical condition, there can be certain risks. So to answer your question, it just depends on what's causing it.
Yeah.
We do uh-huh, know uh-huh. that increasing age appears to be a risk factor, but obviously mm-hmm. it's not set in stone because you can
right.
be yeah. older and have a yeah. totally healthy pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I know it's a traumatic thing going through that.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
Yeah. And the thing about it was, you know, once you share that with your core,
yeah.
you know, family, friends, yeah. what have you, I was amazed at how, quote unquote, common
uh-huh.
it was that people then finally go, oh, my gosh, that happened to us. Oh, that happened to me. And, you know, you have that. And there was no kind of, you know, rhyme or reason. It was just happened. And again, because I was over 40,
yeah. uh-huh.
you know, the easy, I shouldn't say easy, but the kind of go-to, because there wasn't anything else medically speaking,
yeah.
is age.
Was yeah. probably age.
Yeah.
And 2 years prior, on my birthday, we had had one. So it was,
yeah,
like, and
yeah,
it was,
yeah.
and it was a birthday, Mother's Day, you know, double whammy.
Oh, wow.
yeah.
So,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So,
oh my gosh.
So by 44, to have the end of the year, you know, and Quincy being born.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Was just yeah. tremendous.
Oh, I love
and
that.
And it's why, you know, it's one of the many, yeah. many reasons we do this podcast is because I'm fascinated by medical mm-hmm. things, always have mm-hmm. been, and how the body works where that happens, mm-hmm. where a miscarriage
yeah.
happens, and then how the body works where it doesn't
yeah.
happen. It's like,
yeah.
what, it's so random. It's so
yeah.
fascinating.
One thing I love about you guys doing this, and Sean, your point of mm-hmm. entry with this is, like you said, just being so fascinated by mm-hmm. the body
yeah.
and the connectivity for me of yeah. body, mind, spirit.
Oh,
yes, 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 yes.
And that vertical mm-hmm. connection in terms of how the mind and the body can either, you know, play on the same team for mm-hmm. good
yeah.
or
yeah.
be on opposing teams and get you in a cluster.
Absolutely.
Yuck,
yeah. You know, speaking of, you know, playing off of what you're...
Wait, I just got to wait. Wait, cluster yuck? I just learned.
Well, I wasn't sure what kind of no, language
you can say whatever you want
you
here.
Can do it. But cluster yuck and kicks and giggles is like, I clocked those two things. She's a good soul.
I love the point that you just made. And just to play off of that a little bit. So connecting the mind, body, mm-hmm. and spirit. I'm curious about at mm-hmm. the time when you did successfully conceive and have Quincy, you know, were yeah. you in a different place energetically compared to the times when you did experience the miscarriage?
Funny, I've never been asked that. I don't think so, because Chris and I, our lifestyle has been pretty much, you know, the same okay. for all this time in terms of, you know, really just always being mindful of that work-life
yes,
balance.
Yes.
Yeah.
As you notice, I never said I had a miscarriage. It's always mm-hmm. we because mm-hmm. we were, you know, all of that
yes,
together.
Yes.
You know, certainly Sebastian, our oldest boy, is, you know, tremendous and always has been. So I don't feel like there was anything going on, you know, in my circumstances or in our lifestyle
yes, yes.
that would have contributed. Yeah, which is why it made it so.
Yeah.
Huh.
But, well, yeah, you know, yeah, that's yeah. fine because yeah. I think it's important to note that miscarriages are really, really common. You know, some statistics, right. like the American yeah. College of OBGYNs talk about how 26% of pregnancies end up in miscarriages. You know, mm-hmm. that's like wow. a quarter.
And that's what I'm saying. It's far more. And because we're very, of course, very private about it,
yes.
because it is very private, it can be, thankfully, you know, physically speaking, it was not a traumatic experience. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It was yeah. not a traumatic discovery.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yes. If you understand yes. what I'm saying and not yeah. saying. And so right. it didn't lend itself to those kinds of experiences. Mm-hmm. But you're right. They are far more common than we mm-hmm. know. And I did not even know or look at or research what the numbers look like in terms of women of color.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
In terms of women over right. 40 and uh-huh. women of color.
I yeah.
mean, there's so many microcosmic
totally.
ways to approach
yeah,
it.
Absolutely.
But you know, at the end of the day, making sure that you have that support mm-hmm. there.
Yes.
And even though I've been saying we, you know, there's a lot of people that wasn't or that may not be mm-hmm. their circumstance.
Yeah.
And it becomes the we is the me, myself, mm-hmm. and I. are going mm-hmm. through this.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And so I just feel like being able to have candid conversation about it.
Yeah.
And not self-diagnose.
Right, right,
can
right.
be very, very helpful.
Yeah.
Well,
it's
the
hilarious.
Next time I research a straight role, like a straight man role, I guarantee you it's not going to bleed into the into
not-
reality. That's not...
It's
not
gonna... so funny. Oh my God.
Are you yeah. sure?
Well, look.
Never say never,
I'm
Sean.
I'm pretty positive. I know. In this case, you can't.
In this case, you better say never.
We can take that to
yeah,
the bank.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Kimmy, we're going to play a little game.
It's called Dr. Wally's Hall of Fame. You're each going to get three questions, and I'll give you possible points for creativity if you don't know the answer. So please guess. Sean, you're up first.
All
Are
right.
you ready, Sean?
Yeah. Yes, yes,
okay,
yes.
Sean, what does CT in CT scan stand for? CT and CAT scan?
Yeah. Well, you just said
no, no,
CAT
no.
scan.
That's the abbreviation, but
CT scan. Okay.
Has, is a specific, CT, yeah, CT scan.
Okay. Is it stands for computer. I don't know.
Okay. So the first word, that's correct. It is computerized. Do you know what the T?
Oh,
yes.
Really?
Oh. I'm serious. Yeah.
He got that
right.
Wow.
I know. By the way, guessing. I'm totally
yeah,
guessing.
So computerized.
Wait, computer and then the T.
This computer. Is challenging. This is really hard, but you know.
Okay, so, but wait. Well, if you said it's hard, then let me just think. Computer. I thought of 10,000
yeah,
words.
Yeah, go for
computer,
it.
Computer tracking.
Computerized
I don't know.
Tracking. That is close, but that's incorrect. It's computerized tomography. Okay, so tomography is...
Oh, it's like topography,
close.
But
yeah,
for
it's
the
like
body.
Taking pictures with slices, right? So tomos is the Greek word for slice. So computerized tomography, because when you take a CAT scan, you're actually looking at the body through sliced images
in slices.
Of the body.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh my god.
Yes.
That's interesting. I know, right? You'll walk away with something.
I just learned
today.
A whole right? lot here. I mean, on from hypo. Greek to medical stuff.
I know.
There is okay. value in the show. Okay.
All right, second. Good. So I got a half a point. I got a half a point.
Yeah, you definitely got half a point, you get half Sean. A point. I'm so proud. Okay. Second question, Sean. The tagline, "In space, no one can hear you scream," is from what 1980s sci-fi
what, are you
horror
joking
movie?
Joking me? Yeah. Like, it's one of my favorite movies of all time. It's Alien.
That is correct. Okay. Third question.
Yeah.
It was
from Alien.
It's Which Alien.
Oh, Alien. Okay.
But isn't that one of the greatest in space? No one can hear you scream. Yeah. That's
it's a
great
line. Third question for Sean. On your SNL appearance, what song did you play on the piano during your monologue?
You don't
remember? Really? Saturday Night Live? Come on.
Oh, wait. Wait.
You
okay,
played
so
on
wait,
the piano.
It was da-da-da-da. It was Beethoven.
Yes,
Smith.
That's right. Exactly. Yes. And I would expect nothing
oh my God,
less.
Da-da-da-da.
Okay.
Oh, my God. I did
you
well
did
today.
You did super well,
Kim,
Sean. The,
I never
Kim,
do well.
This never happens. I'm not even kidding. So 2.5 points for Sean.
You know what? It's me. It's me. It's my friend.
It is. It's
that goddess energy.
I love it.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. Yes.
Okay. First question for Kim. What's the common term for the medical word cerebrovascular accident, or CVA for short? Cerebrovascular accident. What is the common term for that?
All right. Wait a minute. Slow down, because I've only had one cup of coffee. So cerebral is the mental. Yeah. Vascular is the heart. And an accident?
Yes. I love your thinking.
I want to say it's like a hypochondriatic vibe for, holy shit, I had a heart attack in my mind.
Okay, so what? Yeah, okay, you are very close. I want to push you a little bit. What is the when someone has a heart attack in their mind, they lose blood supply in their mind? What is that called?
Oh.
A stroke?
That's correct. It's a stroke. Cerebrovascular accident is the medical term for a stroke.
That was good.
Yeah.
By the way, I would have never gotten that.
I love the way you're thinking. I love your thinking.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Okay. But that's some bullshit to call it an accident. Strokes ain't no accident.
No one wants to have a stroke, right? Like, I mean, let's be honest. Right?
Well, but
like,
you know,
your brain is up there in the syntax like going, oops.
Oh yeah, oops.
Okay.
What's the medical term for oops?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, go
second
ahead.
Question. Robusta and Arabica or Arabica. I'm not sure. Yeah.
We're in the coffee world.
Types of what kinds of bean? You already said it. Coffee. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Nailed what? It. How in the world would you... Wait, how
Dude,
in the world would you know that?
Because I have a line of coffee and teas called Signature Blends.
Wait,
by
I knew that.
So,
I
wait,
knew
do
that.
You pronounce Arabica or Arabica? Or how do you pronounce that?
I think it goes either way. It's very fluid.
Yeah, okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Oh,
absolutely.
Awesome. Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. But you know what? I need to go back, because I thought I was really big and bad by saying synapse, and I think I said syntaps, and that's wrong. So if anybody's listening and they're like, either edit that shit out or don't act like you are smart, Kim Fields.
Yeah. You won't believe the power of editing in this show. It's incredible.
Oh, I do believe the power of editing.
Yeah,
I have been a post-production whore since I was a young adult. So
isn't it incredible?
I love editing.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
I love that.
Okay, in
the
first third question. Okay, in the first episode of season 3 in Facts of Life, what did your character Tootie drink to prove she's not a kid anymore?
Oh, it's a wonderful meme I use all the time. Some bottle of cheap champagne.
Bingo. You got it.
Is that right?
Three for three.
Absolutely.
Kim, you win.
Yes.
You won Dr. Wally's Hall of Fame. Congratulations.
Kim, you win,
well
girl.
Served. What a great game.
Yes. You win in more ways than one. We love you. I love you. I'm so happy to meet you.
Love your energy and your vibe. Just like feeling all that goddess energy. Thank you so much.
Great to meet both of you. I'll expect my prize soon.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you. Keep your mailbox open.
Bye.
Bye, sweetie.
Bye.
That was perfect.
That was amazing.
That was amazing.
Oh my gosh. She is
Wasn't
amazing.
She great?
I loved her vibe, her energy.
Yeah, it's just like those are the people that work really long in this business
yes.
who are just like positive
yes.
and easy and to work
we
with
need
and talented
more
and
of
smart.
That.
And
we need that to be spread.
Yes, I love
that
it.
That was a great show. And yeah, so
it
grateful
really
she came
show.
On and grateful to David also for sharing his incredible
yes, for sharing
story.
The story. And grateful to you guys for listening. Thank you so much for always listening. We love you. We appreciate you. Don't worry. Be healthy. Until next time. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Hypochondriac is a Hazy Mills production hosted by me, Sean Hayes, and Dr. Priyanka Wally. Rebecca Eisenberg and Todd Milliner are our executive producers. Production and editing is by Rabbit Grin Productions. Original music by Scott Eisenogle and Leo Rosner. This is a Hazy Mills production. All content discussed on Hypochondriac are the individual opinions of Dr. Priyanka Wally and Sean Hayes and should not be construed as personalized medical advice. By listening to this podcast, you agree not to use this podcast as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or others. Please consult your own physician for any medical issues that you may be having. This entire disclaimer also applies to any guests or contributors to the podcast.